You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album. Oh, class is in session. You know what that means, Michael.
When I call your name.
Ring-a-ding-ding. It's about that time.
It's time for another episode of Two Guys,
One Album.
My name is Paul Farvar.
And this is Michael Heidemann.
We are reviewing a new album that is considered by many to be one of the greatest albums of all time. And this is the first track on the album, which is just a talking skit track, as we call it. But some of you guys might recognize it. I wonder what could
I like
it be.
I like that name a lot.
But this is one of my favorite albums of all time, and it's time for us to listen to it right now.
I really like that intro, because I like that little guitar part that they play over it.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication.
And then we dive right into it, like she just punches you in the face with those beats.
Does not mess around. Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, considered one of the greatest albums of the 90s. This was an album that was a number one track from a hip-hop female artist for the longest period of time, and then Cardi B broke that record. It's also the 20-year anniversary of this album.
Yes. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 chart, selling 400,022 copies. I didn't really read that number correctly.
That's a lot.
But it sold a whole hell of a lot of albums.
Shit ton of albums that nobody can do anymore because of Napster.
Yeah. Darn you, Napster. It actually broke a record for first week sales by a female artist. It was produced by the amazing, amazing group of, let me see here real quick. Shoot, I was reading it wrong and now I can't find it.
That's all right.
It did produce three things, and that's Doo Wop, That Thing, X Factor, Everything Is Everything, which were chart-topping mega hits for Lauryn Hill. She brought neo soul to the masses with this album. At the Grammy Awards, the 41st annual Grammy Awards, it actually earned 10 nominations, winning 5 awards. And this is actually, I remember when this album came out and how much of an enormous, enormous hit it was. I remember seeing all my friends, even the dorkiest kid at my school had The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
I was introduced to hip hop through this. I was so anti hip hop until this album came out. I was like, you know, it's kind of fun. I liked Dr. Dre. I loved NWA. I like rap. I liked all that stuff. But this was the one that like broad it out, and I was like, wow. I remember my girlfriend at the time loved this album, and I was like, I don't want to listen to this. I want to listen to Traffic or The Police. But I remember we agreed after like listening to this, because you know, she had a couple of hits on there that were just awesome melodies and great harmonies and just great, like they had hooks on almost all the songs. So it was amazing.
I agree. It's really a truly transcendent album. And like I had mentioned before, when I couldn't find the producer credits, it was actually produced by Lauryn Hill. Yeah. I should have known that. Che Guevara, and Vada Noble.
Lauryn Hill produced this album. And you could tell, you know, she just departed the Fugees and she wanted to like make a statement. And she effing made a statement.
Yeah, she was.
And this song was great. This is the first real song. The intro is called Intro. Very original, Lauryn Hill. And Lost Ones. This was just a song that was like, it's almost like Sabotage with Beastie Boys, where they have their out. Well, Sabotage wasn't the song, but the album had it. This is the first song on our new album. It just, bam, slams you in the face.
Well, she throws these great melodies like this one right here, along with that great, just consistent, perfectly toned rap vocals that she threw in for the verse. So I'm loving what she's doing with this first song. It's called Lost Ones.
And it's the layering that she does on the vocals is phenomenal too. I mean, it's all her voice, and she's doing all the tracks on this. I mean, it's freaking awesome.
This is an artist at the top of her game. Let's dive into that next track real quick. Track X number Factor. Three, X Factor.
This is more than neo soul stuff, but I love this song too. Yeah. A lot of sampling too.
X Factor released as a single on December 8th, 1998. Man, Paul, that was a great time for music. It was just building into the early 2000s. Hip-hop was just all over the place. And the thing is, it was still a time where people could be inspired by hip-hop. You don't see so much ubiquitous, same-sounding, just messy kind of rap music that you tend to see today. There's so many rappers out there. She made it more of an art piece than just a single. And you can tell this full album was something you could spin from beginning to end because 100%. The amount of work that she put into it.
And it's not just that. I mean, there's hip-hop songs that are heavily hip-hop, and there's R&B feel, and then there's this neo-soul combination of it all on one album. It's just amazing. And this, I mean, she has such an amazing voice that, mm-hmm. like, you know, a lot of people would shit on rap back then, myself included, because they go, they don't know how to sing, they don't have harmonies, all this. She proved them all wrong. She mm-hmm. had the soul of, like, you know, Motown in all these songs. And there's parts that are borrowed in this throughout the album.
Mm-hmm. Hill began actually recording this album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, in late 1997 at Chung King Studios, New York City, and completed it in June 1998 at where? Paul Farvar's home away from home, Kingston, Jamaica, the Tuff Gong Studios, because she had this amazing connection with Rohan Marley.
They had a kid together.
They did.
That's Bob Marley's kid. She had a kid with Bob Marley's kid.
Man.
And the kid's name is Zion, which is the next song on the album.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second. Yeah, actually, yeah, let's play it right now.
Let's dive into it.
To Zion. This is to her son, and it's probably my favorite, one of the favorite songs on the album, but it's such an awesome song. Take a listen.
One day.
I love that she named her son Zion, too. Is there a more Bob Marley name than Zion?
This is such a cool song. I forgot how awesome. Man, Zion. This still holds up. Awesome classical acoustic guitars with just beats. I mean, people were not doing this shit back then. She liked broad beats, broad harmony, broad, like, rhythm, everything into a hip-hop song. Nobody was doing this shit back then.
No, I think around 1998, the biggest bands were what? NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys?
Fastball.
Don't you dare knock Fastball in front of me. That band is great. Have you listened to Out of My Head lately?
No.
That song holds up, my friend.
Listen to this song. Listen to what she's doing here. Wait till the part where she starts belting shit out. It's amazing. She's just, right now, this is just, another thing too. Mm-hmm. You know, Cardi B, we shit on her a little bit, and we got a lot of backlash for that. We'll cover it a little later. But mm-hmm. this song has verse, chorus, and she's still got the beats going on, and she's technically rapping over this, although she's singing it. I mean, and then listen to this. She just blows you away. Who the F can still sing like that and rap that's out there right now?
Fastball.
I mean, Beyonce for sure, but that's different. But without Lauryn Hill, they wouldn't be a Cardi B, they wouldn't be a Beyonce. She opened the door for all that shit.
Truly, truly. The reason I like Lauryn Hill so much, you're mentioning who can belt out like that. There's a lot of people who have that powerful of vocals right now in R&B and pop music, but damn, no one has that smoky voice that she has. That
Very sounds, unique, yeah.
That sounds just like a good old cup of coffee like mixed with a cigarette. Damn, she has a good voice.
And the thing is that you hear a lot of her stuff being mixed on other people's albums now, and you sit there, and you, at least for me, I sit there, I'm like, holy shit, they're playing Lauryn Hill. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, this sounds like Lauryn Hill. And then you see, you know what they did? They sampled her song,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. Good for her. I hope she gets money off it. Although some of her stuff was sampled too, so I don't know how that works. I probably should know that as a lawyer. But What were you doing in 1998? I know you weren't listening to Lauryn Hill when I was.
I remember listening to the first time that I heard of Lauryn Hill. I was sitting in my friend's room, Charlie Van Sant, in Crystal Lake, Illinois, and we were
relation to the real Van Sant family from from Leonard Skinner.
Not okay. Little Stephen Van Sant.
Okay. Okay, so you guys were sitting down.
We're sitting down in his room, and he goes, "You have to listen to this." And this was at the time when you could still buy those into those subscription-based CD companies where you
play Columbia College, Columbia House.
Yes, not Columbia College. No, Columbia I wish House. It was as cheap as
not related. Columbia. Yeah, yeah.
And you'd buy into like the penny CDs. You'd buy a penny.
And it gets sucked into albums for $25.
Yeah, so then you would get like 18 albums that week. And I remember he bought one of these. He bought Lauryn Hill, and he goes, "You have to listen to this album. It's phenomenal." And we opened up the CD case, and we'd be looking at it, and we would be reading the lyrics. And
yeah, I remember all the lyrics. They still have them.
Has all the lyrics. Yeah. But then the cool thing was, if you read them, and if I recall correctly, the songs and the lyrics are different from what she sings on the album.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they
like
are.
What you guys are like trying to like transcribe? You're like, wait a minute, objection.
Well, wait, think about
this. Not right.
Remember like when you were young old? And you had nothing to do?
Yeah, of course.
We were 4 years old. I think I was in like just getting into high school.
You were in high school.
No, I was
grade?
Seventh grade.
Okay.
And
I was 40. I think I was in law school actually. Yeah, I was.
But
first year of law school.
Well, when you're young, you have nothing to do, and you have no money, you have no girls, you have no booze, you just read album lyrics, and that's what I remember looking at. I remember it was such a very controversial thing because it was the first time I read swear words.
You're like, she's not following the lines in her own songs. I'm calling Columbia. All right, we're now approaching
song number three.
Well, first, obviously, there's going to be like this.
Skit number three. And if you listen to our other podcasts, you know that Paul is a huge fan of skits.
Shit on them all the time. Although hers are okay because the first one I like because it's kind of got like a meaning. But when Kanye does it, it's like, come on, bro, you're trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. But I will say this: the next album, Doo Wop, That Thing, was the song was our biggest hit on this album, if I'm correct. And this is a song that I was like, holy shit! You know what? Hip hop and rap are gonna do amazing things because this song, it combined, you know, all the Motown feel. She had great vocals and she had the hip hop beats in the background, and you're like, this is undeniably a hook and mm-hmm. undeniably like addicting. I mean, she was so good at that and creating songs.
Yeah, I remember when the music video came out at MTV, it was the first time where I'm like, man, this is a sweet song. And it was like early 60s New York vibe with like the cars going by and that brick layer that they would just be dancing in front of. That thing.
Yeah, and she was so sexy, like just the way she moves and everything like that.
All right, Paul, calm down. He's getting turned on.
Watch the video, big. I'm gonna doo-wop her. I'm gonna stay home and watch this video. And my girlfriend will be like, "What are you doing? Nothing. Just watching the Lauryn Hill video. What are you doing?"
It was critically acclaimed too. David Brown from Entertainment Weekly called it an album of astonishing power, strength, and feeling. Well, Chicago's own Greg Kot deemed the record a vocal tour de force, because of songs like this one. Yo. My men and my
women, don't forget about the day. When this drops, it's so good. Here it comes. It's about a thing. Yeah, feel real good when your hands in the air and lick two shots in the atmosphere. Man. Since you were looking for your friend, the one you let hit it just and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about the Benjamins? Yeah. You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then, and you probably can't. Talking out your neck saying you're a Christian, a Muslim, sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. I mean, it's got that familiarity.
You're like, man, I've heard this before, even when it first came out. And then
you know, she's rapping on top of it, and then here comes the chorus and the pre-chorus.
And those horns, this, it was such a good collaboration of all these different layers, and these, and this horn section is just amazing. It just makes you feel so comforted, and it's like you said, like it's, you've heard it before, but it's something so new, and that's what draws you in. It's that familiarity of music which makes this track just unstoppable.
Come again. The whole, I mean, and then her beautiful voice just takes it away. You know you better watch out. Some girls, the bass line. Girls are only about
that thing. And she warned us to watch out for girls, which is a really good warning. The second verse is dedicated. Man.
I mean,
so good, so good.
Probably one of the greatest songs of the 90s. I mean, I remember listening to this album from beginning to end. I mean, even the skits. And I was just like, wow.
Wait, even hold
the
it.
Skits. They
even
were
the skits?
Well, because the skits sometimes were snuck in. They didn't have, you couldn't skip them on my Sony Walkman.
Oh, you couldn't?
To go through, yeah.
Did you use the no disc, the disc protection? Did you use that button?
I did.
Okay.
I did when I had it in my it Jeep
did,
Wrangler.
You really think it did anything?
Sure it did. I was on a bump. You know, I had a bumpy car back then. It was a Wrangler, and you know, if you had a disc player, that's what it was like.
Wait, they didn't, it was a Wrangler?
Yeah, it was a cassette. You put a cassette in, and it would be an adapter. It would go into the cassette player, and then it would play the disc on the disc man. That's how we did it back in the 90s. When I was jamming out to Lauryn Hill in between Sheryl Crow and Cranberry songs.
Holy guacamole! Not to take away from the power of this album, but I'm looking at the personnel that was involved in this album.
Yeah, and a lot of
it is
people.
It is like a murderer's row of great studio musicians, but damn, did she have a lot of people on this album.
We forgot to mention that on Zion, that was Carlos Santana that was playing guitar, part. I forgot to mention that.
So let's go through some of these vocalists real quick. Lauryn Hill, Mary J. Blige, D'Angelo, Shelley Thunder, Kelly Bobin.
Mary J. Blige is on an upcoming song, but yeah.
Jennifer McNeil, Earl Robinson, Chuck Young, Rachel Wilson.
You don't know Tara any Watkins. These people, Michael. What are you talking about?
Paul Farvar on track 8?
Ahmed Wallace.
Paul, come on, man.
That's my street name is Ahmed Wallace. Ahmed Wallace, if you're listening, if you call us, we will give you a free
t-shirt,
album.
Yes, you get a free
Ahmed
album.
Ahmed Wallace backing vocals on track 9 and 13. This was his highlight. But anyway, that song was clearly one of the greatest songs on the album, on one of the greatest albums. But the next song, Superstar, number 6. But again, see, like she
another
sneaks
track.
It in.
Yeah, you have to right at the end of the song.
End of the song, so you can do anything. You can skip over this part to go straight to the song because it's just talking.
Let's just dive into it. Track number 6,
Superstar.
Come on, baby.
More rappy.
You know, I didn't know that D'Angelo made a lot of his cred from this album. No idea. This is something new that I'm learning.
Oh, they put him on the map?
Yeah, well, because he came out so strong, and I remember in the early 2000s, oh, this song is so good. I'm sorry. This is a great song.
We'll get
song.
To the D'Angelo story when we get to that song. He's on Nothing Even Matters, number 12. And he's... Isn't this Mary J. Blige on this too, right? This is Superstar.
Track 9 is Mary J. Blige.
Background on this. I bet this is all Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, this is an all Lauryn Hill track.
I mean, if you listen through headphones, you can hear the different layers that she has and different levels on her octaves that she can
It's sing. A very, you know what's a cool thing? It's a very Butch Vig kind of album if you put the layered vocals, but man,
well,
the thinking behind this, the intricate harmonies are just so splendid.
I mean, she wrote all these songs and she produced all these songs, so she knew exactly what she was doing. She clearly, you know, and you know, she learned a lot probably from being in the Fugees too. Those guys produced the shit out of their albums too. Mm-hmm. But like, she clearly put them to shame with this album. I don't care if you're a Fugees fan or the other guys that came from that band. Mm-hmm. She's clearly the star. Now, I do wish I could see her in concert, but it's just so hard to know if she'll actually show up.
True. She's been known. That's another thing. Her controversy of tax evasion and showing up late for shows is kind of been following her and kind of giving her a stigma. It's 2018 when we're recording this album, but and that's their 20th anniversary of this album, and that's given her a little bit of steam right now in the popular culture. But man, she had a lot of different problems with her controversial lifestyle.
And then she had some problems. Yeah, she was arrested, too, right?
The number one problem, of course, was Sister Act 2, Back to the Habit, that she was in. She played the pivotal role.
Yeah.
The lead, lead singer.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I think that I wish I would go see. I really wish I could see her in concert just to do this. Like a lot of bands come back and they do. We're just going to do this whole album.
Yeah,
she should just do this album because the live double album that came out after this was not good. There was like three songs on it. It was brutal. I remember. I was like so excited. There'd be like new versions of the songs, but it was just not good.
Yeah.
But I bet you if she put her mind to it, she can put on a good live show. But 99% sure she peaked in 1998 with this album.
Oh, this is...
Anyone would peak on this.
It was too good. Like, if she... You're putting... Think about this. You're putting all of your passion into creating this art piece. And every song that you've been catering and you've just been, chambering for since you were a little girl, you're putting into this. You're putting your heart and soul into it. And think about... That's why it's so phenomenal to see artists who can come out with 10 albums and 15 albums and Aerosmith can be playing forever. It's damn hard to write a song, and it's even more damn hard to write a hit album. And she did it. And speaking of, the other thing that's really hard to be, write that hit album, and also be on King of the Hill. She played the elevator operator, I seem to point that out.
Are you serious?
Yes, she did. I definitely saw that in 1993.
She was, oh wow, she does have some credits here. But okay, well, let's go to that. What's the next song? We got Finest Hour, number 7.
Okay. Did my passion scare you for a second there? You're like, where is this guy going with this?
I didn't know where you were going with it. This is an okay song.
Song number 7, Final Hour. Oh, is this the...
We'll get to that.
The bonus track we just pointed out. I'm excited
at
the end of this.
We were trying to figure out what it was.
One of the greatest bonus tracks of all time. I'm just going to tease that out for a second.
This is a good song. Again, this is something... This is one of the rap songs on the album, Final Hour. Two people, both equal like I'm Gemini. I'd rather send me on. If I jimmy me on, it's like I can pop it. You can't stop it. Drop it. A lot of the stuff that you hear on this song, you hear on a lot of rap artists that are out there right now. Because if you go back to 1998, a lot of rappers were not sampling stuff like that she's singing over right here.
February 1999, just looking at some more of her accolades real quick. Hill received 4 awards at the 30th annual NAACP Image Awards. And in May 1999, became the youngest woman ever to be named Ebony Magazine's 100 Most Influential Black Americans. She is a mega force beyond belief. I love what she does, and I love that she brought this to the stage. Oh, and you mentioned the double album. Yeah, she did a few MTV Unplugged.
The Unplugged album was so garbage. But here's, you know, listen to the lyrics on this song. She's, you can have the money, you can have the power. Those are the same themes that we heard on Cardi B when we did that album years ago.
You know what I'm loving? I'm loving rappers like Cardi B, who actually has said that Lauryn Hill is one of her greatest inspirations, and Chance the Rapper, who is using positivity in his music. I love hearing that kind of positivity and not like the typical run-the-mill. I feel now lazy rapping about money, sex, and, you know, hoes and stuff like that. And it's good to hear somebody bring something different to the table. And man, did Lauryn Hill bring something different to the table.
So good. And then the thing is you'd have a song that's heavily rap like this, and then the next song would be, you know, just something sweet and like a ballad to her son, Zion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what's next. The next album is, but a great example, speaking of, the next song is When It Hurts So Bad. This is just such a sweet, sweet little song. with like when it hurts so bad, when it hurts so straight out of the 60s Motown.
Have you ever heard Damian Marley's Welcome to Jam Rock?
No.
Clear connection between this album and Damian Marley's Jam Rock. That was one of the greatest reggae records in recent history. And if anybody wants to fight me on that, I will be glad to.
I stopped listening to reggae in 97.
Listen to Damian Marley's Jam Rock.
Yeah. I hate reggae now. I can't even listen to Bob Marley anymore.
Bob Marley, that's like early listen, Beatles. Where it's like,
I can't listen to it anymore. You can't either?
The Bob Marley?
Yeah.
I loved it when I was young.
Greatest hits of Bob Marley.
But now, no, I can't do it anymore because it's just, I've heard it so many times, and he's... All the like Stoner kids in my high school would listen to that nonstop too.
I can't stand him anymore. I know that's very controversial, but people will play it all the time. And we used to cover a lot of Bob Marley and a lot of the bands I was in, but I was like, ugh. I was like, I can't play this song anymore.
Have you ever seen the Wailers before?
Yeah.
Still an amazing band. They know what they're doing. They know the hits. They got the hits. They play that.
I was a huge reggae fan when I was younger. I went to the reggae fest. They used to have a reggae fest at the World Theater.
Well, that's...
Peter Tosh was there. Andrew
Ooh,
Tosh.
I love
Peter
Tosh.
Not Peter Tosh's son, Andrew Tosh, but Peter Tosh has already been killed.
Is that why you grew out these dreads for this?
Okay. I had a reggae. I used to play a lot of reggae when I was a DJ at WHSD High School Station, our DJ.
All reggae, all the time.
Reggae
with Paul
hour.
Farvar.
Yeah.
The Reggae Hour?
Love reggae. If you look at my car, there's pictures of Throwback Tuesday or Throwback Thursday where I had like the reggae colors on a sticker on my car and with like a peace sign. But anyway.
I wish I knew that, Paul. There's been many Paul
so
Farvars,
many Paul
haven't
Farvars,
there?
Yeah. But 97, 98, Paul Farvar was listening to this album.
Okay.
But this was kind of a mellower song. The one thing I will say critically about this album is while you're listening through it all the way through, it does have this severe mood change. It's like all of a sudden you're just up and rapping and you're like, get the money, get the power. And then the next time it's like, oh man, it hurts so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you stayed along for the ride because it was Lauryn Hill.
It's really cool. It's almost like a bipolar album and she's going through her own emotions. And I think that I read a little bit about what she was going through when she was writing it. She was going in this relationship with her new husband. She just had this kid. She was about to have a child. So there's a lot of things that are going on in your life. And I think that she did a good way of encapsulating that through the work of song.
Yeah,
let's listen to this next song.
Next song is I Used to Love Him, which is one of the greatest songs on the album as well.
Yeah. And this is Mary J. Blige.
Oh yeah,
singing the backup vocals.
As I look at what I've done, the type of life that I've lived, how many things I pray the Father will forgive.
Yeah, it's one of those songs I was just looking up over your shoulder.
Yeah, I thought you were looking. It was 1993 that she was the elevator operator in King of the Hill. If you needed to double check,
I don't know.
You don't got to fact check me on that.
I wanted to. You know, when you hear this song again, and I say this again with all these songs, especially this one, it feels like it's a cover, like from Motown, because it's got all the beats and everything. But she wrote the song and she produced the song,
mm-hmm.
And Mary J. Blige sang on it too, predominantly. I mean, with that bass line over the sampling and all the drum beats,
yeah. And the little sample of the piano piece. It's one of the first artists that I noticed that could play with a live band, you know, as a hip hop artist. Instead of just like the record behind her, you need that full band, and that's why her concerts are so good and they always sell out and people will stay those extra 2 hours that they're making them wait.
Before she starts, yeah.
Before she starts, because they love her so much.
Yeah. But this was one of the hits on the song, on the album, and it's clear. The ones that I like the most on there are the ones that combine, you know, that Motown feel, that her beautiful voice coming out, and then just slight rap, slight hip hop inspiration in there too. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. You want to hit up the next one?
Yeah, next song is Forgive Them, Father. Oh, I think this is the song I don't like. But we'll let you guys decide.
This is the mother on synchronicity for you. This is the go get a beer song.
This is a song like, it's so short. What should I...
Very, very heavily reggae influenced from the song. You can tell the through line is... It's so cool to see her use the through line of reggae music, but then with her voice, it sounds like a pop song because she's so talented with what she's doing. Beware the false motives of others. It's almost religious in respect. All right, so here's something really cool that I noticed on the album jacket that I forgot when I was sitting at Charlie Van Sant's house. Shout out, Charlie. I miss you, man. Her dedication to this album is dedicated to the memory of her loving grandmother, Louise E. Hill, Karis Ann Wolski, Stephen L. Husu, Chandler Tucker, Karen A. Davis, and Willis Cocker. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
Oh, she didn't ask. She didn't thank anyone from the Sister Act cast.
Oh no! In really small print, Whoopi Goldberg. Oh my gosh, you were right. But here's the thing that I noticed at the end. She puts, if you want to donate to any company, the Refugee Project. You know, the refugees that the Fugees were often referred to as. You know,
from Haiti.
Yeah,
the Hades. They do the Haiti. The Hades.
The Hades. Great band in the 50s.
Yeah,
lots of hits.
No, it's a great song. I shouldn't shit on it, but it's a good song. But. Let's go on to the next one. And again, you mentioned this before, but the horns and all that stuff, just that Motown feel is so cool too. But the next song is Every Ghetto, Every City, number 11. I mean, this is
get that funky beat.
Funky and
horny. Yes, I'm already in. Skinny legs and press and curl. My mother always thought I'd be a star. Yes. Right from the start, you get into this jam.
I love songs that start with vocals like right away.
This is the first album where I think both of us collectively have been dancing the entire album, too.
Bobbing our heads nonstop. And I just like that when she goes off into the chorus. And she just knows song structure. Mm-hmm. It's like do a minute of do intro, do your prequel right to the chorus.
Man, her voice splices into itself so
right here.
So well.
And then here comes the New Jerusalem. 1 minute in. You know it's high. Don't forget what you
got. Looking back. But you're talking about how amazing she is as a songwriter, and that's so apparent because in 2015, Paul, the miseducation of Lauryn Hill was deemed culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant by the Library of Congress and selected for inclusion in the National Recording Registry.
I'm sure.
Holy smokes.
That's one of the biggest things that's ever happened to her. after being nominated for an Emmy for her King of the Hill role.
And then an Oscar for Sister Act.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, just the written word of the album is culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant by the government of the United States.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn cool.
If government doesn't say you're historically or aesthetically significant, what are you?
Aesthetically significant is a hard two words to say. But what's this side note? Shoeshine Boys was also historically significant.
No, we never. Shoeshine Boy.
Oh, sorry. This is Boys. Totally different band. That's Paul's band, if everybody hasn't listened to earlier podcasts.
No, that's fun.
We still need to do one of those albums that she wrote.
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay, so the next song we're on is Nothing Even Matters.
You don't want to groove on this song anymore, Paul?
I do, but we still got to get to the juices. And this one is one of those mellow songs that's just like, and it's not Nothing Else Matters by Metallica. It's Nothing Even Matters.
Nothing Even Matters.
But this is one of those, is this the one? This is with D'Angelo.
Oh, I can already feel it.
Yeah, like I already just want to take your clothes off right now.
I'm picturing D'Angelo without his shirt on right now as this song is playing. You know, a really interesting thing that's been happening in music lately, it's been really apparent with Kanye West's production and his latest album. It was only 23 minutes. And a lot of the albums today, Cardi B included, was like maybe 30 minutes long. This album, 70 minutes long.
Yeah, but it's also a lot of these songs have a lot of, the skits, obviously, but then there's a lot of these songs where just there's a lot of instrumental vibes, like this, like the snaps and stuff like that. Like this song is 5 minutes long. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it's just
four and a half is of snaps.
Half of it is just him just like just sexing it up. It's just D'Angelo without his shirt.
Actually, there is a 2 minute section where it's just his hips just moving back and forth. You can't really hear it on the microphone. You just know.
Somebody's having sex in that studio. For sure.
All right, let's move on because I want to get to that enticing bonus track that we're about to get to.
Well, we're still got to get to number 13, which is Everything is Everything, which is also a great song. It's almost like part two of the doo-wop song, that thing.
Oh, yeah, I can kind of feel that. Did you know Ahmed Wallace was on this?
Ahmed Wallace is for sure on this song. I can hear him.
As a vocalist.
This is one of my favorite songs on the album, to be honest with you. It's so cool.
So you got to give a shout out to Shay Guevara, who did the drum programming, because these beats that are created on this album are phenomenal. And I know I've never heard of Shay Guevara before. I've heard of Shay Guevara before, but not Shay Guevara.
Started a whole nother revolution.
Didn't even know how to work a drum machine. Not even the same guy. But listen to this. This is a collective effort of the highest caliber. Oh, look, there's a guy named Squiddly.
Squiggy Ranks played drums on
Track 8.
When It Hurts So Bad.
Mm.
But here, let's listen to this part. I mean, listen, she's got the violin. I mean, this whole orchestra going on. It's like the wall of sound from the 70s. I mean, there's so much shit going on subtly in this.
Yeah, this is a cool track. You can see this being sampled later on too.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the thing. You think a lot of this is sampled, but she's creating a lot of these sounds organically with her own wall of sound with Shay Guevara.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Shay.
Shout out to Shay and Ahmed Wallace. All right, so Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is the self-titled track number 14.
Okay.
Which I think leads into the secret track. I could be wrong, but I think it's 14 and then,
there's 16 tracks.
Well, one of them is... Yeah, let's see how this works. I kind of forgot. It was kind of tricky. Well, this is just like the outro song, but it's still cool.
It is. While we play this outro, I have a trivia question for you.
Yeah.
So Lauryn Hill has been around since, let's say, when did the Fugees start? 1994?
Sure.
She's been on countless top 10, top 100 greatest album tracks. And
the Library of Congress.
And the Library of Congress. Che was there. Squiddly was also there.
Ahmed didn't make it.
He couldn't make it that day.
Ahmed Wallace.
How many tours do you think she's been on?
Where she showed up?
Yes.
Four.
So you think only four tours only in the last 20 years?
Yeah.
20, 30 years.
Four that she's completed.
Close.
How many?
Nine tours.
Oh, wow.
Nine tours. According to Wikipedia, Smoking Grooves Tour with the Fugees, the Miseducation Tour.
You're including that one.
Smoking Grooves Tour with the Roots and Outkast. Reunion Tour, Life is Good. Small Axe Tour, MLH Caravan. Powered Nomics with Nas. And the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, the 20th anniversary tour, happening right now. So this is pretty awesome. She should have.
Well, this tour hasn't. We don't know what's going to happen here. And I know one of those tours she for sure didn't complete because of cancellation.
You know, this might be the only artist that I could ever say that is both underrated and overrated at the same time.
How is she overrated?
Well, there's people who, you know, aren't really down with her music, and sometimes the controversy overweighs the music.
Yeah, she does have a lot of political stuff going on. But the greatest thing about this song is you guys hear that needle sound. That's not us. She created that. And a lot of people...
That nice little crackly needle you hear in the background? You know whose idea that was for the needle? Ahmed.
Probably. Like, you know what this song sounds like? He probably has an accent. All right, so we got to get to this secret track, and I don't know if we can get to it directly. Go to 15. Let's see if it gets to 15. I think 15 is not the track. I think that's the more talking.
Oh, this is the track. This is the track. We found it.
So for those of you who don't know, this is
Come on.
The hidden track, Can't Take My Eyes Off You. It's a cover from Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and her version is probably more popular now with you millennials.
Yes, and... Can honestly say one of my favorite covers of all time.
Oh yeah, easily.
If not my favorite, if not the most favorite cover of all time. The way she formulates this song and she composes it in such a great hip hop way, updated way, with her beautiful, beautiful voice, so does something that Frankie Valli could never do, even with those high falsetto notes.
Yeah, I mean, we used to cover this in a couple of my bands. Jocelyn Baker, the singer of the band Shoeshine Boy, Carmatese, and Jocelyn Baker, when I played with her, this was like a song where she could belt it out, and it was so fun. I played djembe on this.
Oh, you did?
I played guitar and djembe on this, but the djembe on this song was fun to play. Because, I mean, you can hear the
Yeah, I could tell that. I think it grooves.
Is someone playing djembe on this? I don't think they are, but...
Let's see here real quick.
No djembe.
No djembe, you sure?
All right, while this is playing, we know how amazing this song is. 69 minutes, also pretty cool that she picked one of the best numbers of all time to end it on.
Why is 69 the best number, Paul?
It's just the opposite. It's one of my favorite numbers. you know what time it is? It's time for us to rate the album. Let it play a little bit.
I wanted to know what track number 16 was. You're shaking your head like you know that it's not going to be good.
There's no track 16. It's just that they're talking.
You sure?
No. Let's find out.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is
Paul Wright.
This is a Two Guys, One Album first.
We don't know what the 16
is. Paul Wright.
The second hidden track. It's showing up on the computer, but it's not listed.
Here we go, everybody.
I think it's talking. Oh, no, of course. This is a great song. Yeah. How did we not know this?
I knew it all along, Paul.
Tell them. This is so cool. A song how did I forget about this?
I don't know.
There's two hidden tracks.
There's one. Those hidden tracks.
This is Tell Him. It's such a cool song. And it's Joe Wilson is on this too.
Ooh, listen to that great, great harmony right
Who's
there.
Who's playing the guitar on this? Oh my God. How do we forget this?
Paul is literally shaking off his dreads right now.
How did I forget? This is one of the greatest songs of all time. Listen. Second hidden track.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, the volume was already jammed up and Paul wanted to push it up more than it could. It doesn't go to 13. That's how good this song is. Oh, this is... Okay. Now I do fully agree. Until I got into the chorus, I forgot what the song was.
Is Ahmed Wallace singing? Is he on the background in 14? I don't think so. Or 16, right?
No, this is... Oh, let me check. Purely Squidly in this one.
No,
he's not even on this.
How did we forget this song?
Because, Paul, we are anything if but accurate.
We're nothing if we're not
accurate. Is that the slogan?
How we almost didn't cover this song.
Just imagine the mail that we would have gotten. We thought it was bad with Greta Van Fleet. Just imagine
we're
going
to get so much shit mail from this. Let me tell you something. How could we have forgotten? Very easily. This is one of the sexiest songs, but we just witnessed D'Angelo take off his shirt
in the song. My mind's been warped since song number eight.
We're so behind that it's like impossible. Nothing Even Matters was 12 D'Angelo. Then we got shocked that we couldn't remember Can't Take My Eyes Off You was a bonus track. And then this song is even listed anywhere as a hit, as a second bonus track. Mm-hmm. How many musicians out there have two hidden tracks? The audacity.
That are better than any song on the album. Questionable and controversial statement right there, but these songs are so good. And I think
just Googling it right now, and Google just told me, get out of here. Nobody does that.
Google told you that?
Google's like, you're an idiot. And then I said, no, but what do I tell him? And the lyrics aren't even, are they even in here? I don't think they're even in the book. That's how hidden it is.
A hand just came out of Paul's phone and slapped him right across the face.
If you had that sound effect. It's not on there. Yeah, it's a song. Let's see what information we can get. It's a great song.
An amazing song. I think that's a good one to end it on, since we're both pretty jazzed up right now.
Man.
From some smooth Lauryn Hill.
As if it couldn't get enough rating on this and on this podcast. It just blows you away. I already knew what rating I was going to give it, and now I know. I didn't even think that we can go higher than that, but the rating system here is 11 is the highest you can get, because we go to 11, and also because that's on social media when you can no longer see the names.
Yes.
So it's like the rating. And I like
that we go with 11 now too. You can add that to the end.
It goes to 11. Mm-hmm. Ours goes to 11. I give this album 11 thumbs up.
Oh my gosh.
This is by far one of my greatest albums of all time. And I also put like a heart sign and then the bicep guy, because that's D'Angelo. And then I have to give out the praise sign to Ahmed Wallace. I mean, this is an album that if you do not own this, you have to go out and buy. This is the cultural significance. As the Library of Congress has already said, this is like our generation's rocket ship that goes to the moon, or whatever that was that went there. What was it? What happened in 1960s? I don't know.
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. This the Apollo 11.
Apollo 11.
Oh my gosh.
That's right.
It is. Like, yes, it is.
If you tell Michael he's not right, he'll
gone to 11.
Himself.
It's gone to 11.
This is the greatest album. Easily one of my top five albums of all time. I don't know. If you disagree with me, you have to write and explain how this isn't one of your best albums of all time.
Yes, we need it in writing.
In writing.
In blood,
define
too.
Define yourself. Explain yourself how this isn't one of the greatest albums of all time.
Leave your address, too, so Paul can come to your house.
I will come over and yell at you really loud, but no physical violence, because I'm a pussy. twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. Now, Michael.
Yes.
What's your rating?
Wow. This was an album that kind of took me by surprise. I was into it when I was young. Before I got to high school.
Charlie.
Remember with Charlie Van Sant, I was in his room and we were both looking at it, and he said, you need to listen to this album. There were a few times when I had in my life when somebody said, you need to sit down and listen to this. It was Weezer's album, Metallica's album, the Beatles, Lauryn Hill.
But those albums didn't have 69 minutes of music.
No, they didn't. They just brought on multiple 69s. Sorry.
With you and Charlie?
I didn't even want... No, not with me and Charlie. I didn't even want to add that into it, but
it's fine.
Just, the door was open.
So, what are you giving it?
Let's go back down to earth. This album, life-changing. Lauryn Hill is one of the greatest songwriters of all time. Her voice is something that is unparalleled. She might have some controversy, but damn if that won't stop me from seeing her. I'm going to give this album my highest rating yet, 9.5.
9.5?
9.5.
That's not the highest rating. You gave your boys in, what do you call them? What was that band?
Blink-182?
Blink-182, you gave them a higher grade than that. You don't have a good memory.
Pretty damn good band.
And Blink-182 had 20 songs, so they were each 1.5 minutes. This girl, this beautiful woman, this amazing person, wrote 69 minutes of music, wrote it out, had all these amazing musicians. You are insane to say anything we've reviewed so far. This is better than the Police's Synchronicity. This is better than Counting Crows, August, and everything after.
That's what goes without saying, Paul.
I mean, this is the greatest album we've ever reviewed, and I just, I mean, the more you listen to it, two bonus songs. Michael, you didn't even know about the second bonus song.
I'm loving
it. It's still playing.
All right,
that's
you know
how
what?
She is.
I'm take. This is another Two Guys, One Album first. I'm going to take it back. 9.5. Changing it. 9.75.
You little bastard.
This is an amazing album. It has room to grow. I love Lauryn Hill. She's an amazing person. I'm totally going to see her this summer when she's performing.
If she's performing.
The album art is rad. The only thing that was holding me back, just so if anybody has any questions, because I'm sure that people are going to get very upset.
Yeah,
please,
you guys are really angry.
And I love the anger because I love the passion about music. But the only thing that was holding me back was the intense reggae influence, which I love.
She was married to a Marley. She had to do that.
I know.
And her son is half Marley.
To be honest, if she kept it all pop and hip hop rap, I would have probably given it a little bit higher, yeah, and a little bit more jazz. I love when she threw in that horns, but damn, when those drums came in, like the tat tat tat, and it just takes
you're
me out of it. You're
negating a point or a thumbs up because there's a reggae influence.
Okay, it's not because there's a reggae influence. I feel like the songs didn't connect with me the way that the other songs did. On that note, I have been brought into tears by her Frankie Valli cover and by Tell Me. Those are two of the most amazing songs.
How did we almost forget that? I just want to also shout out to my ex-girlfriend Michelle Profeta from 1998. I stole this album from her.
Oh, you did?
And the strip on top, this is like the old album.
I
just took it
that.
Off. It said Lauryn Hill. Like, this is the old days. Like, this album was still in great condition other than the rip in it. But
yes. It's a tattered album. People
I think
can't
I bought
this,
her
but...
a new one. And if I didn't, Michelle, I'm sorry. But I do want to say that she's the one that introduced me to this album. So thank you. She did a lot of great things, including introducing me to music that I was Green Eggs and Ham about. That was like, no, I'm not going to like it. And then I effing loved it.
So. Yeah. So what was her name again?
Michelle Profeta. Well, now she's goes by something else. I think she got married a couple times, or at least once.
Oh.
Well, she's great. I don't know. Hey, Michelle.
On a scale of 1 to 11, rate Michelle. I knew you were going to say that.
Of course, yeah.
This was a fun album. I'm glad. This was, again, the only album that both Paul and I were dancing through the entire time. Yeah. Lauryn Hill can do no wrong
in
her
Footloose
eyes.
Footloose in here. Kevin, we're both... like Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
But no, I agree with
you. Bacon Brothers.
We both agreed on an album. That's kind of a first, too.
We did.
And then we love all the comments. You guys, look, I know we're going to address all the viewer mail that we got. And I know you guys are upset with some of the stuff we said, especially with Cardi B. That seems to be a controversial
Cardi B's been pretty controversial. We've gotten a lot of mail. And we also got a lot from Greta Van Fleet. Very, very, very passionate people. With the Greta Van Fleet fans, though, I loved how long the emails were and how in-depth they were about how wrong we were. So please write us when you get a chance. twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. And that's the numbers, twoguysonealbum. You can also follow us on Twitter at twoguysonealbum. Again, the number two, guys, the number one, album@twitter.com. Paul, where can they find you?
I'm at Paul F. Comedy or at Paul Farvar on Instagram, Twitter, and all that stuff.
You can find me, Michael Heidemann, at michaelheidemann.com, or you can email me at soundsessionspod, that's my direct email, @gmail.com. But we want to hear from you at Two Guys, One Album.
And subscribe to us. Tell your friends about us, even if you don't like us.
Tell them how much you hate us and tell them to listen to this podcast because you won't regret it. And who knows, we might be doing your album very
soon.
Yeah,
tell us what album you want to hear.
And Paul, I think that it's about time to close up that old CD case.
Can we go out to the last song?
We can go out on this song. We can go out on a date to it. We can picture D'Angelo losing his shirt. Number 16, again, the greatest hidden track
of all
known
time.
To man.
The second greatest. Two great hit.
Yeah.